upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Good morning. This is Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief of Technocracy News and Trends. Welcome to all of our listeners from around the world. Today, we're going to start out talking about the logistics industry. This is a very large industry throughout the world and in the United States as well. Logistics represents the centerpiece of the global supply chain. In other words, globalization, the movement of goods and services to all parts of the world for various parts of finishing, manufacturing, and delivery to, ultimately, the consumer. Yet another story has come out now that robots will be taking millions of logistics jobs in the next few years. This article starts out, the automation wave is expected to dramatically reshape the U.S. economy in the 2020s. This disruption will impact the labor force and cause tremendous job losses. By 2030, automation could eliminate 20 to 25% of current jobs, equivalent to 40 million displaced workers, hitting the bottom 90% of Americans the hardest. A new report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution shows how warehouse automation is starting to gain traction in Atlanta, the sixth largest warehousing space in the United States. The new robot-powered warehouse in McDonough, Georgia, is currently undergoing pilot tests and will begin operations in June. Project Verte, a startup trying to compete with Amazon, is responsible for automating the warehouse. The so-called butler robots are like giant Roombas, that's a vacuum cleaner brand, that move between 6,000 refrigerator-sized shelving units lined up in rows 85 deep within the warehouse. An employee summons the robot with a handheld device. It then uses a jack to lift the shelving unit and transports it to the human picker, who then grabs items out of the bin, scans it, hands it off to the packaging department. This fully automated warehouse is targeted to ship up to 200,000 units a day. Now, units of what? Well, various types of packaging and things that get distributed to consumers. This is the same kind of thing that Amazon currently does in their automated warehouses. This company is competing with Amazon. So they think they'll be able to ship up to 200,000 units a day using only 400 human employees. This is an incredible feat. And it also is handwriting on the wall for the rest of the logistics industry. Overall, the logistics market on a global basis is worth over $12 trillion. It's also huge in the United States, since the United States is one of the largest economic blocks in the world. But in order to understand the movement in logistics to automate, it's necessary really to take a look at globalization at large. This is the global economic system that's been put in place since at least 1973, when the Trilateral Commission announced that it was going to create a new international economic order. What they envisioned was globalization as a process, as well as technocracy as a means to get there. And so when the global supply chain is put together, it's largely put together by technocrats who are looking for the most efficient, human-free conditions possible. And what we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years especially is just that, using technology to do all kinds of things that humans used to do. Warehouses, for instance, are a big part of the supply chain, and they're quickly becoming automated. Ships that travel the ocean seas, the high seas, to deliver containers are going to autonomous vehicles. The ships will be human-free one day, simply delivering their cargo from port to port, all guided by GPS and artificial intelligence. You have delivery drones that are now coming into use. This not only will serve the consumer market, but it will also serve the wholesale market. So the supply chain, which is huge dollar-wise, will be compressed to yield the maximum efficiency possible. This is made possible because technocrats view humans as simply a competition, another resource, nothing special about humans in their mind. So if a robot can be made to do something better than a human, then make it. And if humans gets displaced, well, that's just too bad. Well, this is coming. There's nothing particularly to look forward to, especially if you work in the logistics industry. It probably will be an industry that doesn't have much of a future for human workers. Unless, of course, you're a computer expert or a robot expert. But otherwise, it looks pretty grim. The next story I want to move on to, again, has to do with surveillance. A government watchdog called the Government Accountability Office has released a report that says the FBI has access to 640 million photographs. Well, this is astonishing because the FBI has sworn all along that it only keeps photographs of criminals. Well, we know that there's not 640 million criminals in America. There's not even that many people in America. So the FBI has been doing a little bit of background work here that it hasn't told anybody about, and the GAO has uncovered it. I have to say the FBI probably isn't too happy that everybody knows this now. My comments on this article are technocrats are addicted to data, and currently there are almost no regulations preventing law enforcement from using police state tools. Where's Congress in this? Well, apparently sound asleep. The next story we'll cover, by the way, sheds a little bit of light on that. This article states a government watchdog says the FBI has access to about 640 million photographs, including from driver's licenses, passports, and mugshots that can be searched using facial recognition technology. The figure reflects how the technology is becoming an increasingly powerful law enforcement tool, but it is also stirring fears about the potential for authorities to intrude on the lives of Americans. It was reported by the GAO at a congressional hearing in which both Democrats and Republicans raised questions about the use of the technology. The FBI maintains a database known as the Interstate Photo System of mugshots that can help federal, state, and local law officials. It contains about 36 million photographs, according to Greta Goodwin of the GAO. But taking into account the Bureau contracts provides access to driver's licenses in 21 states and its use of photos and other databases, the FBI has access to about 640 million photographs. Well, that's the fact of the matter. The FBI has been busy, and the fact that they only penetrated 21 states is pretty amazing. They've got a few to go. The way it looks to me, if you do the math, if they were to penetrate all 50 states, they'd have well over a billion photographs at their disposal. Well, the last story, titled House Oversight Committee, Facial Recognition Not Ready for Prime Time. Law enforcement agencies have been called before the House Oversight Committee to testify on facial recognition technology. The article starts out by saying the FBI and Transportation Security Administration, the good old TSA, defended their use of controversial facial recognition technology at a hearing before the House Oversight Committee on Tuesday. Meanwhile, some elected leaders blasted it as not ready for prime time, calling for everything from an outright ban on its use to federal legislation regulating it. I'll point out again, there is hardly any federal regulation against using facial recognition software, almost indiscriminately. That's one reason that the FBI has been able to get away with what it's doing. They haven't necessarily broken a law, but the government has failed to rein them in. Now they've become so big, it's going to be a big, big problem. The blowback apparently was bipartisan, with Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings, Democrat from Maryland, pledging to hold more hearings. Another Democrat on the committee, Representative Rashida Tlaib, says, "I'm a little freaked out by facial recognition." And the ranking member, Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, said, "Today is a subject matter where we have a lot of common ground and a lot of agreement. Facial recognition tech is under fire from cities and representatives in Congress, despite polls showing few Americans want to restrict it. And this takes off on an interesting link to another story on Smart Cities Dive that is titled, in fact, Few Americans Want Government to Restrict Facial Recognition Technology. I'd like to see that study broken down, actually. But it states that only 26% of Americans want the government to strictly limit facial recognition technology, with support weakening even more if government limits restrict public safety, according to a new poll from a nonprofit research institute, Center for Data Innovation. Well, I would question the validity of that survey for sure, because every American I have ever talked to in the last year has stated they do not want to live in a police state where they are constantly surveilled for no reason. Anybody that suggests that, well, if you have nothing to hide, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, that's ridiculous. The Constitution of our nation protects American citizens against illegal search and seizure. If any authority has no reason to look at an individual citizen that's committed no crime, then they need to just not look at that citizen. They have no business paying attention to innocent citizens, even if they're just fishing for a crime to charge them with. No, Americans are not lined up with this kind of crazy surveillance at all. So in any case, this latest article here about the House Oversight Committee has an interesting paragraph down in it that says, while the FBI said it only has access to criminal mugshots, Greta Goodwin, Director of Justice and Law Enforcement Issues on the Homeland Security and Justice Team at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. There you go. That references back to the last article here. She refuted that. She said the FBI can access 640 million photos from various civil repositories, including the Department of Motor Vehicles, she said. Goodwin and some elected leaders took the FBI to task for a report the GAO issued, which concluded that, quote, FBI has limited information on the accuracy of its face recognition technology capabilities. To remedy that, the GAO and the FBI must take extra steps to ensure privacy and accuracy. Although of the six steps, only one has been completed due to legal questions from the U.S. Department of Justice. This is getting pretty crazy. When somebody says that facial recognition is not ready for prime time, does that mean that Congress is just waiting for facial recognition to get ready for prime time? And if it does get ready for prime time, what does that mean? Is it just going to be implemented anyway, without respect to what the Constitution says or the law says? Well, the FBI has chosen, I might add, this is very clear here, they've chosen to misrepresent themselves before Congress, flat out. This article points out that the FBI's testimony said that they only have access to criminal mugshots, and that's patently false. The Government Accountability Office says just the opposite, that they have access to as many as 640 million. Well, we find that the technocrat mindset will do anything to obscure its own mission. No problem with lying with statistics, because if the goal is viewed as worthy, the means to get to that goal are immaterial. And in this case, the technocrats within law enforcement that are running the show there, they're looking at creating a surveillance system that will dragnet everyone in our nation. This is where China is right now. This is where we're headed right now. And with all due respect to law enforcement and the many local representatives that do protect and defend citizens, the system is going haywire. It's running amok. It's creating a police state right under our nose, gaining power every day. And part of the reason that it is gaining power is because the people who have perpetrated it are lying to authorities that would like to monitor it. This is wrong. The GAO rightly concludes that we need transparency. That law enforcement agencies should be immediately willing to reveal exactly what they're doing to citizens. Citizens have a right to know. I predict that there's an epic battle brewing between Congress and these surveillance hawks that exist within law enforcement. And of course, it is a responsibility of Congress to protect and defend the Constitution. They all take an oath to that effect. But I'll also point out that citizens like you and I also have a responsibility to protect and defend the Constitution on a local level. And indeed we can, because some cities already have banned facial recognition technology from their city. Anybody can do that. Any city, any town, any county can pass such resolutions and they're binding. People cannot come in and override city ordinances. If you don't think that's correct, just look at what San Francisco just did. San Francisco, probably one of the most liberal cities in America, certainly one of the dirtiest in America, has recently decided to ban facial recognition technology altogether, and it already has. You break the law there, I guess, they'll put you in jail. So it can be done. If San Francisco can do it, anybody can do it. This is one of the reasons why we stress local activism at Technocracy News and Trends, because you ultimately are the final defense, the final arbiter of whether you want to keep the Constitution or not, and or apply it in your own local community. Anywhere somebody sets up a policy, a procedure, or an incident, or an event that is outside the bounds of the U.S. Constitution, we should just stand up and say, stop that. It's not right. You can't do that here. In many cases, the perpetrators will simply retreat. And if they don't, if they choose to fight over it, well, then you have yourself a fight. You can take it to court. You can take it to the public. You can vote people out in your local communities. Just don't stand for it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Stand up against it. If you haven't yet read my latest book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, I would encourage you to go to technocracy.news and pick up a copy. Or if you prefer, you can go to amazon.com and pick up a copy there. There's also a Kindle version. And if you have the ability and the mind to support our work here at Technocracy News and Trends, you can head over to patreon.com/technocracy. Make a pledge of any size, even a dollar or two a month, is encouraging. We need to know that people are standing with us. Another thing you can do for sure is share these stories with other people that you know. That could be on social media. It could be on an email distribution list of people you know. It could be word of mouth. You go to a meeting on a regular basis in your community of any kind, take some flyers, pass it out. These are issues that America needs to get behind, and we can't wait for Congress to save our local communities. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day. Bye for now.